You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday,
hey, can you hear me?
Casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, June 10th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. It's Casual Friday, ladies and gentlemen. So casual. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Bunch District of New York City. What a program we have for you to end such a crazy, effed up week. Today on the program, of course, it's Friday. I will be joined by the great Cliff Schechter. You can follow him on Twitter, at Cliff Schechter. I will also be joined by Todd Berry, comedian extraordinaire. Maybe I'll pull a Breitbart. Maybe I'll show him nude pictures of men as a way to ingratiate myself and feel cool. And, of course, we will be talking, maybe for the last time ever, with Chris Rosen, of movieline.com. We shall see if he has watched Battlestar Galactica like I told him he had to continue on with this program to save my own integrity, because he had mentioned the Bachelor Party 2 or whatever, Bachelor Pad or whatever it is.
Hangover 2.
Sorry, forgot about it. I forgot. Just quickly, Reuters, I guess, reports the nuclear fuel has melted through the base of the Fukushima plant. Nuclear fuel in three of the reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant have melted through the base of the pressure vessels. This is the worst-case scenario, ladies and gentlemen, or the worst possibility in a nuclear accident, according to a report given to the International Atomic Energy Agency. We haven't known what's really going on there since day one, as far as what we've heard from TEPCO. So assume that it's going to get worse there, perhaps far worse. And I want to say before it gets better, but we may not be around when this gets better. It could be just years from now. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the program, as we always do on Fridays, because he's that casual, Cliff Schechter.
Hello there, Samuel. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Cliff?
I'm that casual. That's how I'm doing. Feeling nice and casual today. We're going to have some fun.
This week, just insane.
Yeah. I would call it almost a week of crack.
Yeah, exactly. And before we get to the crack, because I want to talk about the crack, not so much. I want to talk more about the reaction to the crack.
Yeah.
But before we do, I want to talk about this unemployment situation we have, and specifically what seems to be the complete reluctance and almost pathological reluctance by the Obama administration to address this. And now, of course, I'm not in any way excusing, you know, I am saying this with full understanding that the mainstream media, that there are political constraints on the Obama administration. But we got this story that came out this week on the 7th in The Hill, that the Obama administration on Tuesday basically told the Senate that one of their bills, the Economic Development Revitalization Act, which would expand the reach of Public Works and Economic Development Administration, increase their funding from $300 million in the current year to $500 million a year through 2015, was too large by about $175 million a year. This is the only potential Jobs Act that I think is out there, and the Obama administration saying to the Senate, you're spending too much money.
Yeah, it's rather amazing. I feel like at this point, someone really needs to put together an alternative history of the Obama administration, starting with like that stimulus. I know I've gone off on this a lot. I know I have on your show. But to me, that set the whole tone, of I'm going to kowtow to Republicans first and foremost to make them happy, hit my own base, even though they're the ones that supported me. And most importantly, I'm gonna become a D.C. centrism fetishist who will do whatever it takes to make a certain little group of cocktail party goers happy. And, I mean, I'm sorry this sounds sort of like I'm totally dismissing. I'm not saying, again, I'm not in the crowd that thinks Obama can do no right nor the crowd that thinks he can do no wrong. I really try to find the good in some things he's done, and I think it's there. But on the economy, I mean, I don't know what else to say, but I think he's been terrible. And I think, you know, a moment was handed to him like none we've seen in a long time. I feel like I've gone through this a lot, but the 13 million member email list, the overwhelming majorities, you know, the huge excitement among people, young, vibrant, you know, African-American president coming in, George Bush having completely discredited his party and their philosophy. And the first thing that he chose to do was to go to a bunch of Republicans, most of whom ended up not voting for his bill anyhow, in fact, 98% or something that didn't or more. And to get, you know, a vote or two in the Senate, instead of going to them and threatening them and going to their districts and campaigning, barnstorming and blaming them for every single lost job if they didn't vote for this thing, instead he made 40% tax cuts that mostly were useless and didn't do the $1.3 trillion. I mean, remember George Bush went in and asked for a $1.7 trillion tax cut, ended up at $1.35. We just had the 10-year anniversary of that idiocy.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't go and ask for a $1.7 trillion stimulus and get the $1.35 he needed. You know, I mean, he had everything going for him and just caved. And it may be, you know, I'm at a point where I don't know whether this is what he wants, and he really is, you know, a D.C. centrist type, excited by, you know, who thinks that this is the way to go, or he's too timid to fight. But whatever it is, you know, we've seen the economic results, and I don't know if this guy really wants to be reelected or not, but I'm telling you, if the Republican Party doesn't put up crazy, they don't put up Bachman at this point, if they put up like a Romney Pawlenty character, they could win. And anybody who doesn't think that's fooling themselves.
Yeah.
It's so distressing.
I got to agree with you, and I would even be more generous to the Obama administration insofar as, and this is an argument that, you know, we have talked about. I had this argument with Jonathan Alter, who is one of these centrist establishment types, as far as I'm concerned. Nice guy, but that's who he is. And even if the Obama administration could not have gotten the number. Now, we've heard stories that Christine Romer, who sat on his economic team, tried to get, couldn't even get on Obama's desk the idea that we needed a $1.5 or $1.3 or $1.7 trillion stimulus. And I understand the political constraints, but what we're in a situation is, had he at the time argued for more money, settled for the same amount or even slightly less of stimulus, he would at least have in his quiver the arrow of saying, I told you we needed more, and now we're seeing why we had a situation where you can almost track as the stimulus runs out in terms of the actual money spent. You can track that with the loss of jobs, the loss of economic growth, the increase in unemployment rate. You can track that almost to the day. And had he made the case early on, even if he had lost, you know, legislatively, my expectations of what he was going to be able to do were always minimal. But rhetorically, they were high. And that's what I think we didn't get. So now we have a situation where that story was from the earlier in the week, that the administration basically said, we don't want that much of an increase in this Economic Development Revitalization Act. Now, today, we see it reported in The Hill by Alexander Bolton that senior Senate Democrats are growing frustrated they and guys like Tom Harkin are talking about what they need to do is raise revenues and spend it on infrastructure. And it's not just Harkin who you would expect to say that, but Jay Rockefeller, who you might also expect to support that. But even a Senate Budget Committee, Kent Conrad, says a major infrastructure package funded by tax revenue generating measures is what's needed to strengthen the economy. Now, his plan is much more modest, but even still, you also had Jared Bernstein, who just left the administration, considered probably the last most left of center economist to leave the White House, meeting with the Democratic caucus, saying the same thing the other day on the Hill. And so maybe we're seeing, you know, the Senate Democrats basically saying, hey, we're you may not be worried, but we're worried about our reelection chances.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, in a number of these meetings, I think their underlying anger at how he's handled these things has come out. One of those articles, maybe the ones you were referring to, where he literally was like, I don't need you to tell me. I know how to negotiate. Probably one of the funniest things. I mean, funny, sad, because if he thinks how he handled the health care bill and the rest is how you negotiate, my God. I read about Christina Romer, too, and what Jared Bernstein I've seen by the time. You know, those guys that won those weird things, what are they called? Oh, yeah, they're called Nobel Prizes. Krugman, Stiglitz. You know, they were all saying we need much more. And in the end, what ended up happening is that stimulus, you know, they discredited Keynesian economics because they didn't spend enough, and they allowed the right to demagogue it. And then Obama joined in with them on this deficit idiocy after they spent 8 years blowing the hole through the roof of the deficit, after Dick Cheney sat there and said, Reagan taught us deficits don't matter. He's gone over to their talking point. So in the end, if this deficit has grown, some of it on your watch, and you're arguing against the deficit, then aren't you arguing that you've screwed up? I mean, aren't you essentially handing them what they want? You know, instead of, as you said, you know, doing what he needed to do. And if he had stood hard and said, no, not 40% tax cuts, maybe a few here and there targeted at the right places. But no, the stimulus is going to be what it needs to be. And I know, you know, if you're out here among the different states in the country, you know that for a lot of what they were doing was directly counteracted by the fact that the states have to all balance their budgets. It's most of them. It's in their constitutions. So they directly counteracted everything the federal government was doing. So that's why he needed to spend that extra money to bail out the states, but didn't do it.
Right.
You know, it just makes you want to pound your head into a wall. I mean, this was all so predictable. All of us did, all of us who are not D.C. centrists and right-wing Republicans and blue dogs. And you know, here you are. And, I mean, he's in serious danger of losing. I don't think they get it. You know, this he got bin Laden. Great. You know, George Bush, the first, won in Iraq and then watched an economy faltering give the White House to Bill Clinton. You know, I mean, that only counts for so much. His bin Laden bounce, as they called it, is already gone. He's already tied with Mitt Romney in the most recent poll.
Now,
again, polls are a snapshot in time, and I'm not saying things can't change. But if these guys don't get it, if he doesn't get it yet, that it's about people's everyday pain, people who don't have jobs and are looking for work, that there's nothing out there, there's no hope. He doesn't get that those are the guys that can easily be swayed by the voices of Rush Limbaugh and others because they're mad and they have a right to be mad. Then I don't know what the hell they're doing over there.
Well, I mean, I will say there's two things that mitigate this conversation. And I also want to add, because I've gotten an email or two to this effect, this is not Obama bashing. This is simply voicing frustration about liberal policies and liberal rhetoric that has been thrown aside for no apparent benefit. You know, I mean, I understand that there may be times where you have to make some compromises to the political realities. But the fact of the matter is that this is cutting against the political realities. Now, with that said, there's at least two mitigating points. One is we don't know what the economy is going to be like in a year, although it doesn't look good at this point. People are now talking about the double dip recession. Two, that we have already seen, there are stories today in the paper, I think, that because of the rise in the stock market, all the pension funds in the states that were supposedly going bankrupt are in fact doing much better, which is just another proof that the way you deal with deficits is growth. And the other issue is that from an electoral standpoint, when you look at states like Michigan, and I think even Ohio to a certain extent, they're actually doing somewhat better than they were a year or two ago.
No, and that's important to state, too. And I think there's another hugely important electoral factor that Sam Stein just wrote about, the Huffington Post, and others have written about.
This was the other one, yes.
The growing Latino population is going to be a huge, huge boon to Obama's campaign. And so, you know, from what I hear, they've got marked down in certain states like Arizona, which I think after the last year, some people might think Arizona is the craziest place in the universe, but it's actually a swing state that Democrats can win in and have, Janet Napolitano being an example and others. And so there's no doubt that the Hispanic, growing Hispanic population is a part of that. And the fact that the Republicans are demagoguing that issue so hard and well, I shouldn't say demagoguing, I should use the real word, they're being racist. And that's obviously helpful. I want to make this clear. This is not Obama bashing. What I try to do is, you know, I have an ideology, I have beliefs, I think, you know, they tend to be on the center left of the spectrum. I don't always agree on the far left of everything, but I think I'm pretty consistent in what I say. I try to be. And so I'm going to say what I think is reality, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican in office. And I've given from the bin Laden, the way they took down bin Laden, I gave huge plaudits to Obama. I mean, I'm not one of the, you know, I know there are people out there, and we all know who they are, who constantly bash Obama. I'm not one of those people. I give him credit when I think he deserves it. But I really do think on the health care and economic stuff, he just handed away way too much for nothing,
right?
You know, and whether he did it because he believed it was the right thing to do or because he didn't have the fortitude to stand up, I don't know anymore what the reason was. But had he come in with a $1.7 trillion stimulus and barnstormed in those couple of recalcitrant Republican states where he won, you know, Dick Lugar and Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe and Arlen Specter, who was a Republican then, a few others I'm probably not thinking of, Mel Martinez back then from Florida, states that he won, where he was more popular than them, had he gone there and done all of that, he gets the stimulus he wants. Had he started off arguing for single payer, then maybe we end up with a public option. That's what I'm saying here, and I'm upset about it because I want him to win re-election, and I think because he embraced the inside Washington, inside Republican Party, you know, the conventional wisdom, he's greatly imperiled his re-election. I mean, and people have been hurt, too, which is an important thing. Penises?
Well,
or no?
let's talk about it for a second, because, you know, my feeling is that I wouldn't want to necessarily be married to him. But, you know, look, who knows? You know, I mean, who knows?
I don't know. Well, hold on a second. Did you see that scrotum he sent out? You might want to be married to him.
I guess it depends. Exactly. I mean, but the idea that you have Democrats who are and liberals or whoever it is calling for this guy's resignation while there has been no law breaking, while there's a perfect opportunity for him to meet his bosses in 15 months or whatever it is. I'm talking about the people in his district. The idea that people are just feigning or not feigning, whatever it is. To be so offended is just stunning to me.
I understand why they're so offended. I mean, if I were in a party that obviously had the purity of Hot Tub Tom DeLay, Mark Foley, Ted Haggard, Larry Craig, Chip Pickering, Mark Sanford, help me out here, John Ensign, Chris Lee,
David Vitter.
You know,
Bill Young, according to Aravosis over at America Blog, Bill Young, Congressman, he's the second-ranking Republican on the powerful House Appropriations Committee. His wife has said he's not allowed to travel with any women And so they had to pull a female Foreign Service officer off of a trip to Italy. Now, I don't know if that's because his wife is just really uptight or if Bill Young has had a problem in the past. Newt Gingrich, who...
he's just really loose.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not talking about Republicans.
The stuff goes on, and it gets forgotten about. I mean, it gets forgotten about again and again, you know. What's his name? I can't forget Ed Schrock, the guy that was against gay marriage but calling him the gay porn line.
Yes, I'd remember him well.
I mean, that's only 2006, mind you. If we go back 4 or 5 years, we literally can find such a – I mean, let's be honest here. The C Street house was a brothel,
right?
Okay? Mark Sanford lived there. Chip Pickering, who cheated on his wife and ended up breaking up his marriage from Mississippi, lived there. Ensign lived there. Coburn was enabling everything they were doing. I mean, literally, if you're stuck any time at night in Washington, D.C., and you want to get some sex, more than likely, if you went to the C Street house, you would probably have a better chance than if you went to a whorehouse.
But I'm not even talking about the Republicans. I mean, I understand how the game is played here. Republicans want to take out this guy, and so that doesn't surprise me. What I find is just amazing is a sort of like this the reaction by some on the left who are just like, the guy is disgraced. He is he's a liability now. Well, okay, but that's not going to change if he resigns. I mean,
actually, there are people that have the ability. Look, David Vitter survived because he lived in such a right-wing state that he would that in the end he could break laws, have sex with prostitutes, text them from the House floor like he did, or Senate floor, if I remember correctly, put diapers on for them, which is a nice act. That was very clever. And in the end, he was able to win re-election because, well, Anthony Weiner is from a very progressive district, and the most recently that I saw, 56% of his constituents were in two different polls, 156, 160, say he should stay. I'm right there with you. I think he should stay. I think he's been very effective politically. I think he's got the kind of voice that's needed. Not everybody may like him. Fine. I've read that. That's, you know, that's politics. But
right.
He stands up and says things that many Democrats, including, sadly, people at the White House, are too scared to say. I mean, he fought the hardest in the public option out of almost anybody. And again, I would say this to people on the left, too. Stop getting rolled. Stop having the right tell you what you should do. If he did something that I felt was terrible and that broke the law, I would think you should step down.
Oh, if he had broken the law, that's fine. And if people want to make that reason for congresspeople to resign by engaging in private business, their personal business on a government computer, then yes, I would like every single congressman or congresswoman or senator or executive branch who has ever done anything personal on their computer, buy something on Amazon, whatever it is, then if they're all willing to resign, then yes, let that be the standard. But you know, this guy was not involved in anything other than with some consensual stuff that I would never do because, you know, I'm just whatever. That's my psychological makeup.
Right. And I would also point out that if you look at most of the people in the Republican leadership right now, or, you know, I mean, I was just reading this profile about Roger Ailes, who, of course, has been married twice, Mitch McConnell twice, Newt Gingrich three times, Rudy Giuliani three times. If you were to combine the marriage total of just about five or six randomly picked Republicans, you could get up to 20. So in most of those cases, I could be wrong, but in most of those cases, I assume when someone's marriage breaks up and they meet and they go with somebody else, they're probably already cheating with that person. Maybe I'm taking a step too far. So it's a joke. Look at the way the other side protects their own, the sleaziest, scummiest people in the world, and then compare it to Anthony Weiner, who, as far as we know, has done nothing illegal and done a bunch of stupid and, yes, sleazy things online. But that's it.
Right.
You know? And so, I'm so with you, man. I'm so tired of people eating their own. You know, we should hit our people on our side when they're not standing up for the public option, not when they do and they send a picture of their scrotum somewhere.
Cliff Schechter, I will see you next week.
You can quote me on that.
I'm going to. At Netroots Nation.
Can I, yes, before, you may be kicking me off soon, but I need to point something out. I need to get some plugs in here that are big.
Okay.
First of all, if you go to Netroots Nation, I'm doing a morning show with the great Liz Winstead and Elon James. Sam Cedar will be joining us one morning. We haven't determined which one yet, but he will be.
I will be.
I mean, he has no choice, frankly. Absconding him in Little
Talk Go. Like I'm not here.
I will actually send a picture of my scrotum to him if he doesn't. So that's first of all.
That's mixed incentives.
That's a threat. That's a threat. Secondly, we're having a great happy hour there on Friday night to talk about common sense gun policy. And at 5:30, you can look it up. Who will be joining us? Again, the great Sam Cedar.
I will be there.
So you've got at least two awesome places you know Sam Cedar will be.
Yeah, we will post that. And also, we have a meetup on Thursday night, and I will give you information, information about that soon, and I will give you, the listener, information about that soon as well. And we'll post all this stuff. We'll have a omnibus Netroots Nation thing so that you'll know just what you should be listening to all day to get the best coverage in Netroots Nation. You'll be able to find Cliff. So, Cliff, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, as always. Talk to Look you forward soon. To seeing you next week.
All right, folks, coming up next, Chris Rosen will be on the program. Did he watch Battlestar Galactica as I demanded last week? We will find out in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, how did you get that job? Maybe next week the song's just going to be, how did you lose that job? Although I don't know if this is really a job because, I mean, let's be honest, he's not getting paid. He's just getting the massive amounts of exposure for that website that he senior edits over there, movieline.com. Ladies and gentlemen, 42-inch TV, Chris Rosen at 42-inch TV on Twitter. Chris, before you say anything, let me just remind everyone last week that I was trying to figure out what we were going to do because 2 weeks ago I had told Evan at the beginning of the show and Matt if Rosen mentions Hangover 2 in his movies, where this could be the last time he's ever on the program. And so last week we decided that I should give you an ability to redeem yourself. I'm wondering maybe we should hear the picks before we know if this is the last time ever. So let's wait on that. The ability to redeem yourself.
I think we can get over with. I mean, I don't know. I think it shouldn't be the last time ever.
Someone on our Facebook page wants to know if you're going to recommend Super 8 or Parks and Recreation.
Well, I would recommend Super 8 because I saw it last night and it was great, but it's not on demand yet, so Sam can't watch it.
Parks and Recreation
is good in any season.
You should know I saw Midnight in Paris this week.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It's a great movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. Strong. One of his better works in the last 10 years, at least.
Yeah, in the last 10 years, I would say. Owen Wilson does a good job of, you know, the problem he's had is he found people who actually do him too well in those roles, and Owen Wilson actually was himself doing the Woody Allen role, and so that was pretty good. Okay, but let's not dilly-dally here. Chris, did you do what I had demanded? Did you watch Battlestar Galactica? I just asked that you watch the first installment of the miniseries. Did you watch it?
Well, I watched some of it.
Some of it?
Like 10 minutes of it. But I have to say,
Are you serious? You only watched 10 minutes of it?
I have to say I was hooked.
What? I just ran out of time. What is your job, man?
I just ran out of time.
Maybe you could keep
it. There's only so many hours in a day.
You ran out of time. You had an entire effing week.
I could have watched it. To be honest with you, I could have watched it on Tuesday night, but I was busy live tweeting Bad Boys 2. And I forgot about Battlestar Galactica. But then I was like, oh, I should really watch it.
Is this a joke? Is this a joke? No.
Maybe you can keep some of your segment.
You were live tweeting. What's Bad Boys 2?
It's a movie, Sam. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. Don't hate the tale or hate the game.
Wait a second. So you're telling me that you are live tweeting
Bad Boys 2. It came out in 2003, but it was on HBO, and it's one of my favorites. So I was like, oh, shit, I could have watched Battlestar tonight instead of doing this, but I hadn't seen it in a while, so I thought it was a good idea. And then the other day, I was like, oh, I should really watch Battlestar because Sam had requested that. So it was yesterday morning, and I put it on before I started work, and I was hooked. It was very good.
Let me ask you, what do you do at work?
I write a lot of posts. I edit a lot of posts. It's
about
a lot of work.
What do you write about posts about?
About
what?
Movies, not about Battlestar Galactica. That show's 10 years old.
But wait.
But it's
a
good show.
Bad Boys 2 is older.
But I mean, that was my free time. I felt like watching it in my free time.
Jesus Christ.
But anyway.
So wait, did you like it?
From what I saw the first 10 minutes, it was great hook. And I did enjoy it. I'll tell you a couple of. I don't want to knock it, obviously, because I didn't watch it.
You've really spent a lot of time. You really went in depth with this. I mean, 10 minutes. I mean, for God's sakes. I'd love to hear the critique.
Well, my critique was more about you because I just think it's funny that you mock the stuff I like, but, you know, at the same time, you're watching a nerd show. It's goddamn Star Wars is basically what it is. It's like a Sci-Fi Channel show.
Well, it's not like a Sci-Fi Channel show. It was actually a Sci-Fi Channel show.
And so, I mean, how can you mock what I watch when you're watching that? I mean, why don't you watch, like, I don't know, any Stargate SG-1 or whatever hell it's called?
Well, it has to do with the quality of the writing and the quality of the show.
But I just think it's funny that you mock my choices sometimes, and I just think it's funny that one of your favorite things is a sci-fi show.
I don't even know.
I'm just saying it might be a good sci-fi show.
Give me a picks for this week. Give me
the problem I had with it was I'm supposed to take Edward James Olmos seriously, and that might be a tough pill for me to swallow. But like I said, I haven't watched it all, so maybe I will.
You're going
Stand and Deliver.
What is your pick?
Okay.
What are you suggesting? Stand and Deliver.
No, I'm just saying that's where I know Edward James Olmos from.
All right. Let's just. What are your picks? I gotta get going because I have Todd Berry.
I saw that. That's a great get. I'm looking forward to listening to that.
I may let this week, Todd decide what we do with you.
No. I think you should let. You know. I think the
let's
fans
speed
have spoken.
It up here. I'm still. You don't have time. You have 10 minutes to watch Battlestar Galactica. So I only got like 90 seconds for your two picks.
First pick, great movie on demand, True Grit, came out in the fall. You probably didn't see it.
Of course I saw it. Jesus Christ.
What? Hold on. How can I say, of course I saw it, when every movie I've ever suggested, you're like, I never heard of that.
Because
What's
every
Black Swan?
Movie that you suggest is so bad that you
no,
literally
it's not.
Would have to start.
What's Black Swan?
You,
oh, like, I never heard of The Fighter.
Literally
What's The
would
Fighter?
Have to go, like the only way that someone could have watched, if there's anybody listening, that has watched everything that you have watched and recommended, I would bet $1 million they are writing a book, The World's 100 Worst Movies.
You're full of shit. Toy Story 3, you didn't even know existed. That's a great movie.
I'll give him Toy Story 3.
All right, True Grit. Yes.
True Grit is a great
movie.
Watch you
it.
Watch
it? Is it on Netflix streaming?
No, it's on demand. Netflix streaming, I'm going to request a documentary. If you maybe you've seen it.
All right, maybe I'll watch it on demand, but I have seen True Grit, yes.
Did you see the original or did you see the new one?
I saw the new one.
Okay.
So you're saying I should watch the original?
No, I'm saying you should watch the new one. I liked the new one. I thought it was great.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Great. Are you sure? I don't even know what to say. Like, he's suggesting, like, Oscar-nominated films, like, literally
in the past year.
After,
yeah.
I mean, in the past year, months after the Oscar.
You would never see movies. Like, if you said I can hear
somebody,
you right now.
Like, if you said to somebody, what would be, like, strategically,
I'm still
the
here.
Worst movie recommendation? Well, you'd say, oh, well, an Oscar nominee that was nominated 6 months ago.
Yeah, but you haven't seen these. This is the first movie I've ever heard that you actually saw in the
theater. You understand that there are thousands of people listening to this too. That you want to balance some type of relevance.
You know, I know, but I'm doing it for you. You know, it's our, you know, it's like our little, you know, I'm recommending things for you.
All right, what's the
anyway?
Other
the next one, a documentary on Netflix Insta Watch, Man on Wire. I don't know if you saw it. It came out
actually,
a few years ago.
That's in my queue, and I haven't watched it. Nikki's watched it. I do want to watch it. Man
that's
on
a great
Wire.
Movie.
All right,
James
you know
Morris
what?
Directed it. Won the Oscar.
Oh Jesus. Is it the apocalypse, or has Chris Rosen just suggested a decent movie?
I suggest 100 decent movies. You just don't happen to like them all.
My God.
But Man on Wire is a great movie, and I think you should watch it. A great documentary. Very interesting. The way they do it, like a lot of reenactment and stuff, it's a nice twist.
Oh,
and
you mean we've watched it?
Yeah, no, I've seen
oh,
it.
Shocked.
And the director, James Marsh, has another movie coming out this summer called Project Nim. It's about like a monkey that they like learn, teach sign language and becomes like a person. But it's like based on a true story and stuff from the 70s.
Watch the rest of Battlestar Galactica. Watch
I'll see what I can do. I might try to watch it in shifts. It's long. 90 minutes is a big commitment. I was expecting like 22, like a nice tight episode of Parks and Recreation.
I just flushed Chris Rosen. Goodbye, Chris.
See you next week, guys.
Goodbye. Oh, God. Maybe we'll get a good... a good movie reviewer at Netroots Nation next week. Folks, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to do another one of those Freebie Fridays. But I'm not going to keep doing the Freebie Fridays if people don't become members. We'll just shut it off to just members only. I'm doing this so you get a taste of what happens in the post show. So today's a Freebie Friday. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Todd Barry, famous Todd Barry. And then later in the program, I've got an extended clip from Mike Stark where he called in to Rush Limbaugh again. Fantastic. Stick around. You're going to want to hear this. We'll be right back with Todd Barry. And we've also got our two songs, our songs of the week from Jimmy Reefer Cape and the Screaming Majority. This show, Fridays, it's just so jam-packed. I can't even believe it. We'll be right back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is such a pleasure to welcome to the program the famous Todd Barry. Todd, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for retweeting me tweeting about my appearance on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to retweet you, Todd.
you were the only person to retweet it. Maybe I shouldn't point that out, but...
You have a like 100,000. You have 200,000 followers, don't you?
Yeah, now I have 122,000 and change.
How did that happen?
Just being famous, I guess. No, I don't know. Asking people to retweet all my tweets, that helps. No, I don't know how it happened. There's people with a lot more than me.
No, of course there are, Todd. Todd, now you know. I was thinking about this today. I've known you for. We've known each other for almost 16 years, 17 years.
I know, and this is like our third conversation.
I was going to say, this is going to be, I was thinking today, this is probably going to be the longest conversation we've ever had.
Well, I wouldn't go crazy, but yeah.
Certainly.
No, I think it will be, and I'm looking forward to it.
Probably the most personal.
No, let's not get personal. Oh. You know, do you want a movie recommendation?
Are you kidding? Of course.
This is in Netflix also. Believe it or not, there's a documentary on the band Rush. That's amazing.
Wow. That's an interesting. Why is it amazing? Do you have to like Rush? Because I'm not really a Rush.
No, you don't. That's what's so great about it is that you just kind of see that people sort of make fun of them who like quote unquote cool music. But then you just see how cool they are and how, I don't want to ruin it for you.
All right, I'll watch it. What's it called?
It's called, Rush. If you put in Rush documentary.
There's not multiple Rush documentaries?
That'd be a good launching point. It's called Beyond the Lighted Stage.
All right.
And Man on Wire is really good, too.
You watch a lot of movies, don't you, Todd?
I don't know if there's a twist in it, like your movie reviewers. It's not really. Oh, my God, there's no Wire.
Give me your assessment of Chris Rosen as a movie reviewer.
He was good.
Seriously?
He had to follow the guy who knew all about politics.
Well, he doesn't listen to the show, so he's not even aware of that. As far as he's concerned, this show is only on for 10 minutes every Friday. That's it.
Let me pretend I listen to the show. I can't believe he doesn't listen to the show.
Well, it's just Chris Rosen, it's unbelievable how bad his movie reviews are.
Really? Why do you keep having him on?
I don't know. I feel bad for him.
Well, let me stay. I thought his movie reviews were good.
Wow. Todd Barry, contrarian. Oh, you know what I want to do, too, is I want to play one of our weekend review songs to you, too, because people don't know this about you, but you're an accomplished musician.
I am. I play the old viola for the
You're Todd's a drummer. He's a good drummer.
I'm not a good drummer.
You're not a good drummer?
It doesn't stop me from doing it once in a while.
What have you been up to, Todd? Are you touring?
I was in Norway. I did some shows in Norway.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oslo and Bergen.
Do people like you there?
They like me to a certain extent, yeah.
No?
And yes, they
sounds
did like
no.
No. I would have said no.
What do you think your appeal is? That you are almost is exact opposite of like a Nordic like you're a commodity.
I am a commodity. I'm a person who's not as good looking as they are, and they brought me over there just to stare.
Well, I mean, the people could just write it off for cultural differences.
How bad it can get?
You could probably play it off like in America. I'm very good looking.
I know, and conversely. The people there who are ugly are better looking than me.
Well,
self-deprecating. I'm a handsome man.
Why are you not at Bonnaroo?
I don't know.
Is that a sore spot? Well, tell people what Bonnaroo is, because I'm not even sure I know what it is.
Well, it's a music festival that also has comedy in Tennessee. I've done it a couple of times. I guess they want to mix it up.
I understand.
Meaning they didn't invite me back. Thank you for bringing that up, then. Thank you for pretending you didn't know what it was.
Only vaguely know what it is.
I think I did it last year or the year before.
I know that Benjamin is there or something, because he started tweeting now. And
yeah.
He said he's at Bonnaroo. And so I knew it was, I thought it was like a comedy festival, but I guess music and comedy.
It is. It's music, comedy, and hope you don't have to go to the bathroom festival.
It's one of those outdoor jobbies?
It's porta potty and porta sinkies also. They have these sinks that you can wash your hands in some questionable water.
Oh, you're very germophobic, aren't you?
I wash my hands after I go to the bathroom. Oh. That's me a germ. Yeah, I'm a bit of a hand washer. How did you know that?
I think I just remember that from the from back in the day.
From the days of when I asked if you had any soap, or where your soap was.
Yes.
That time I said, why don't you have any soap? And I'm making that up. I imagine you're a hand washer, too.
You're an imaginary hand washer?
I imagine you wash your hands as well.
Well, I do, but I mean, I don't do it. I do it, I can either do it. I do it a lot more now because I have a kid.
Let's both do it after this interview, though, don't you think?
I think we're going to need to. Let's talk about this Anthony Weiner thing. Because now you'll know what I'm talking. I was sitting on Dylan Radigan's program, waiting for the we were there waiting for the press conference. I was sitting there watching the press conference on the Dylan Radigan program, and the only thing I could think of was Marin. Now I don't know that Marin. Yeah, I don't know that Marin sends those photos, but I've been with Marin when he gets those photos, not from guys, but or at least he didn't show me the ones from guys. What is your take on this? Because I think like comedians, I think I don't know if comedians are any more in general perverse than and perverse. I'm using this just in the vernacular. I mean, I don't know that it really is perverse necessarily to do this sexting stuff, but you hear about it more from comedians because they're not embarrassed by it.
Right. I mean, I think a lot more people have received that kind of photograph than you might think.
Well, do tell, Todd.
Do tell?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really, I think that it's something that happens, and there'd be a lot of, I'd say that Sheridan press, that conference room at the Sheridan would be booked up a lot more if everyone got revealed. Who does that? I know that was a poorly formed sentence, but you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying, but are you suggesting that you don't do anything like that?
Oh, I was actually suggesting I do something. And I have it at 3 p.m. I'm going to grab a coffee, and I'm going to head right over to the Sheridan.
And you're going to reveal it? Yeah. Have you informed the press at all?
I have, and so far, you're the only one who said you gave me a maybe.
I'll cover it. I mean, can we set up like a Skype thing? Can I cover it over Skype?
On the Evite, you gave me a maybe.
All right. Well, let's listen. I want you to listen. I want you to judge us because I do. I appreciate your musical sense. This every week, it started with a listener named Jimmy Reefer Cake, who does a weekend wrap up song. And it has spurned a couple other of our listeners to do a week and wrap up. I want to play you this one from this one's from the Screaming Majority. It's David Benjoya and Dan Killian, Steve Deceive, and Paula Carino. It is a song about.
I like Steve Deceive is the only one who got a groovy stage name. For
that
him.
Is a good name, isn't it? It's a piece about Governor Christie entitled "The Portly Authority of New Jersey."
Mm-hmm.
Let's play this now, Matt. You ready? 1 second. Okay. Evan is not with us today. Matt is on the soundboard.
I prefer Evan on the soundboard.
Okay. So do I.
You should have told me that Evan wasn't available.
Okay, here it is.
Look up in the sky. It's a guy full of pie. It's
subtle
Governor
beginning,
Krispy
I like.
Krispy Kreme. Flash to the mall. The mall they all call.
I can't hear it.
Wait, you can't hear it?
No, I can't.
You cannot?
Maybe because we're on Skype.
Oh, wait a second.
Drew Rabbit.
You should be able to hear it. Hold on, let me try this. Let me see if this works. This is frustrating.
It is.
Hold on. Let's see. Can you hear it? Can you hear this?
I can't hear anything but your voice.
Look up in the sky.
You don't hear that?
I really don't hear it. I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench in your show.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's okay. Then we...
You want me to pretend I heard it? I like it. Like the lyrics.
Yeah. What else?
The snare sound I like.
Uh-huh.
Bass was just loud enough. I didn't hear it. I wish I'd heard it. How come I didn't hear it?
I don't... let's see. Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
All right, let's try one more time. Hold on. Let's see if you can hear this. No, you can't hear that, can you?
No, I don't hear it.
All right, well, then we won't be able to get your reaction to it. Sorry.
Can you – why don't you do this? Why don't you – do you have an MP3 you could email me? I will listen to it while you wait.
I'm going to do that. Hold on for a second.
Are you seriously going to do that?
Yeah.
I absolutely don't want you to do that. No.
Is it the...
Don't reveal, yeah. Yeah, anything. Yeah.
I don't want to get into it. I mean, to give away his email address. I've just emailed it to you. I think
people be sending me their songs all day long. You know what I mean?
I know. I totally understand. It's nice.
I don't want to have a listening part.
All right. Well, hold on. I'm going to play it when you after you get it, and then. All right. Let me just confirm. Is that your email address? I just typed it.
No.
It's not? Somebody else just. Oh, you switched. All right. So.
The one you get.
Hey,
the one
folks,
you gave me, I have...
folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. This is a bonus show for you. All right. This should all be members only right now. So don't complain to me.
Are people complaining already?
No, because most people listen on podcasts. But I know that there's people sitting there listening to their podcast going, hey, what the heck?
What's more entertaining on a sunny day than hearing a guy type in an email address?
All right, so I've just sent
it to you. The sound of a guy emailing someone.
I've just sent it to you. You're going to have to play the MP3, and then I will. You when you get it, I'm going to mute you, and then... I'll have Matt play it, okay? And so we will listen to it simultaneously. You will listen to it.
I don't even understand what we're doing now.
Did you get the email?
Whoa, slow down. let me see if I got it.
Todd Barry, ladies and gentlemen, where are you playing coming up, Todd? Do you want to plug something?
Oh, I got the email. I'll be in Buffalo July 14th. Why is that funny? You don't think they deserve my comment?
I don't think it's funny.
Is there like a gun happy hour that you want me to go to that day? Oh, here we go.
Okay, so you listen to it, and don't worry about the sound because I'm gonna pod you down. And
so you listen to it right now?
Yeah, you listen to it. We're gonna listen to it, and then we'll come back. We'll meet in a minute.
So literally, step away from my computer to listen to this?
Just listen to it. You don't have to step away from your computer because I'm gonna pod you down.
Okay, pod me down.
All right, I've just potted Todd down. Now go ahead, play. This is from the Screaming Majority.
Look up in the sky! It's a guy full of pie! It's Governor Krispy Kreme! Flash to the mall! The mall they are called!
Xanadu American Dream! Yeah, Krispy Kreme!
Drew rabid fans to his YouTube page, attacking his critics with Rocky Road Rage. In a field full of lightweights, he's the dream pick. Finally, a Jersey boy unafraid to act like a total dick.
Governor Krispy Kreme.
Flying all the time, frying all the time. Taxpayers die, shutting down tunnels, unions and libraries, a breath of fresh air from the turnpike refinery, flies to a meeting, rich donors and donuts, calls and reporters, they are watching donuts.
If you struggle with weight issues, we apologize. We feel we can take these cheap shots because Governor Krispy is a real douche.
There it is. Oh, he's still, Todd's still listening to it.
Is this going to kick into a rap?
No.
That would do. Not a lot of chords in this song, I'm surprised.
There you go.
You want me to keep listening?
It's just one more minute. One more. Now, you know, they got to do it in 60 seconds.
What's that?
Oh, wait, stop that one for a second.
I'm trying. Oh, shit. Now, that could have been worse, huh?
Yeah. So what did you think?
Wow. I don't love, like, fat jokes, but yeah, Krispy Kreme, I get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you're, I'm asking you to judge not so much the jokes as the music.
Oh, the music, it sounded good. It had a nice sort of a joke core feel to it.
It was a little bit like Dead Kennedys, wasn't it? A little bit like Iggy Pop-ish?
Yeah, it was, I don't know if it was Iggy Pop-ish. It was maybe Dead Milkman-y? I don't know.
Dead Milkman-y, yeah.
Who else does...
Todd listens only to Rush. That's the problem. Did you get that? I sent you another email with the other song, Jimmy Reefer Cake's song.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you want to listen to that one?
I don't know. Do you think this is a good idea?
You can be honest, Todd.
I don't know if this is a good idea to... you even sent me the lyrics to the Portly Authority of New Jersey song also.
Yeah, those lyrics are pretty good, actually. I mean, they're, you know, yes, he's doing the fat jokes, Krispy Kreme. It's a guy full of pie. But he flies to the mall, you know, he's talking about Xanadu, right? Are you aware of the $200 million that New Jersey is going to be subsidizing this massive mall? Known now as like Freedom Mall in New Jersey.
I didn't even know about that.
Well, there you go. That's what you see. You missed the underlying political statement in there. He's flying all the time. That's a reference to his helicopter trip.
Yeah, it's the Little League game. I do know about that.
Lying all the time and frying all the time on the taxpayer's time. He's shutting down tunnels. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's shutting down tunnels. That's a reference to the tunnel that he put the kibosh on from New Jersey into New York City. He's attacking unions and libraries. And he flies with meeting with rich donors and donuts. I mean, the rich donors was, you know, reference to the helicopter ride. The donuts probably aren't there. And then he says, you know, then he sort of builds in the critique on the fat jokes.
Yeah, he does. They do call themselves out on that.
Yeah.
Notice that. Do you want me to listen to this other song? I did get it.
Yeah. You listen
How's
to that.
Work? I think I'll listen through the email, not through my iTunes, so you don't.
Right. Listen through the email. That way it's much quicker.
So quicker.
And we'll be back in a minute, and you give me a sense. This is the Jimmy Reefer Cake soon. We'll come back to you in a second. Start listening now, Todd. Okay. And Matt, let's play it. This song is from Jimmy Reefer Cake. It is his, it's called Twitter, Your Wiener.
Legalize marijuana for recreational purposes. I'm not in favor of that. Don't smoke, stay off of drugs, and stay in school, kids.
Twitter, Your Wiener. Bill Clinton got a Hummer, and that was okay. From a big-tittied woman at his desk, for God's sake. Spitzer got himself a high-class hoe. When they say JFK had Marilyn Monroe, wow. Maybe Wiener will win the next election. He Twittered out himself a nice big erection. He can Twitter his Wiener. Twitter his wiener, he can Twitter his wiener, why don't you Twitter your wiener? Larry Craig tapped a toe cause he used a wide stance. Chrisley likes a lady with a penis in her pants. David Vitter wore diapers with his prostitute, and he still got reelected, isn't that cute? He doesn't have the balls to legalize weed. He can Twitter his wiener, and he can plant his seed. He can Twitter his wiener, Twitter his wiener. He can Twitter his Twitter his Twitter his Twitter his Twitter, Twitter his wiener.
Wow.
Wow.
Jimmy Reefer Cake pissed at Congressman Wiener for not wanting to legalize marijuana. And I got to say that. I thought that was a pretty good song.
Yeah, that's good. Am I still on the line?
Yeah.
I like the female backing vocals on that.
I did too. I loved it when they come in for that chorus of Twitter Your Wiener.
Yeah. It was nice. It was a good one. I don't want to judge anyone's music, but that was good.
Well, no, Judge. That's what you're here for, Todd.
The Christie song was a different topic. I think you could play both of them.
I did.
Oh, I thought this was a thing like to be on your show forever or something.
No, I mean, every week we get these guys do a weekly news and review.
I thought I was judging a contest. I got really uncomfortable.
No, you're not judging a contest. It's just...
I thought I had to cut someone a check for $1,000 of my own money so they could go into a studio.
That wouldn't hurt, actually. I mean, maybe we could do that for next week.
Yeah, let's do that next week.
Todd, tell me, we only have a couple minutes here.
Let's play another song.
No, we don't have another song. You want to talk more politics?
If it's something that won't make me look dumb, but go ahead.
Why, you were so nervous about the political talk.
Yeah. I'll talk about it, though. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? I mean, what have you been following in the news? Like, when you go on the road, do you do anything that's topical or no? Of course.
Not really, no.
No?
I keep it evergreen.
Oh, that way you don't have to write new jokes.
Hey, buddy. Now I write new evergreen jokes. I write new jokes that I don't have to. I read the USA Today and do 40 minutes on that as my opener.
Like sort of like Mort Saul, but just not so high end.
No, but then I do a twist. I do the what's the international version of the Times?
The International Herald?
Yeah, I do. I close with an hour. Yeah, Herald, yeah. In Norway, I read that. They had it at the hotel lobby. I felt really brainy.
What? Who's the funniest comedian out there right now?
Oh, man. That question's good. I don't know. Who do you think?
I don't know. I don't even listen. Are you kidding? I don't do anything anymore. I don't listen to any comedy. I don't know any movies. I don't know anything. The last song I heard that was new was, I think, the last Buffalo Tom album.
Really? Well, that's only 22 years.
It's, right. Yeah.
You should recommend that. You should have heard this great new album, Buffalo Tom.
Yeah, it's Bird Brain, it's called. It's very retro in its sound. But no, tell me. You don't have to name the funniest. Tell me who's funny out there that people should watch out for.
Oh, Doug Stanhope is really funny.
You know, he's from Worcester.
Is he?
Yeah, I didn't know him, but I think we went to high school together.
He's the last guy I watched for like an hour, and he's great. You should. He's fantastic.
I should have him on just to see what the high school was.
Have him on, set up the interview, and what high school you went to. Hey, guy, you gotta go. I don't know what high school you went to.
Who else?
Who else? You know Tig Notaro? She's really funny.
No.
Who else is funny? Gosh, I always blank when people ask me this question. You?
Thank you. That's very sweet. I haven't done comedy in years. I saw your tell me about doing that Black Swan thing with Darren Aronofsky. You still hanging out with him?
He's sitting next to me, actually.
Well, we used to, but didn't we all like go out to eat one night like years ago with Amy?
I don't actually know how I met him, but I know I met him somehow.
I think it was we were all out one night, I have a feeling.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, it's Name Drop Friday, incidentally, on the program. But back in the day, because he was friends with Scott Silver, I think, and his brother, and I think that's the way.
I made that Funny or Die video called Todd Barry and Darren Aronofsky, the original Black Swan, which people can watch on Funny or Die.
There you go. You're really good at self-promotion. How's the career going, Todd? Slow.
I just answered a question about something you asked me about. I'm not going to go back about that. Your gotcha questions are not. Your gotcha questions are not going to faze me, because I'm not running for office.
No, I know. Have you done Marin's podcast yet?
I have three times.
You did? Was it like one of the full-on things or a live show?
I did two live shows and one where there were a few guests. I haven't done the one where he makes you cry. Because he talked for 2 hours. I think he knows better than to ask me to do the "You're Gonna Cry" at the end of this one version.
Yeah,
it's the best episode of that. I haven't listened to the Gallagher one.
Oh, you should listen to the Gallagher one. That's worthwhile. Yeah, when I go, I did a live one with him. When I do it, I try to make him cry.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I just keep making fun of him.
I'm pretending I don't know how to do that, but how do you do that?
pretend like other people are doing better than him. But now that's what's hard. There's no leverage.
You realize he's probably listening to this now.
No way. No yeah, way. Aaron does not listen to this.
He's going to tweet about how you insulted him.
No, he knows that I try and go. I've said it on his show that I, you know, it used to be I could just like start talking about what other people are doing in their career when we worked together at Air America. That's what I would do to get to get back at him. And I would just say like, wow, man, Jesus, you know, Patton Oswalt's doing really great. He would just get completely upset, and now he's had so much success with this that it's almost impossible to get to him.
I know. Have you been on the show?
Well, like I said, you know, I did a live one.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't listening. The live one's good. You can bounce it off the crowd, and you kill.
Yeah. No, I know. But, I mean, I'm not that, you know, I'm only moderately funny. There's only so many times I can go on there live and make fun of them.
You could do that thing you did with the Cavs. Have you ever told your audience about that?
What's that? Tell. Remind people.
Remind people? Oh, you're pretending you don't know what I'm talking about?
Actually, longtime listeners know exactly, are very familiar with my calves. They used to mock up pictures of my calves in basically like bikini underwear.
Yeah, I remember that. They're huge calves.
I have huge calves, and I used to do a calf dance on stage.
You used to oil them up.
I would oil them up, I would shave them, and then I would do a calf dance.
Yeah, I guess it's not really – that doesn't make good radio talking about something. No.
Well
– wrap it up. I think we
– Yeah,
I think,
no, we got to go because I actually do got to go. But
– We should have shaved 4 minutes off this.
Yeah, we can do – we can fix it in post.
ToddBarry.com.
ToddBarry.com.
B-A-R-R-Y.
B-A-R-R-Y. And on Twitter. Very funny. So you're in Buffalo, then where?
I'm going to go to Edinburgh. I'm going to Hoboken, New Jersey, man.
Oh, yeah?
With a guy named Ted Alexander who's super funny.
Oh, from...
I don't know what high school he went to.
Oh, you don't know what... Isn't he who is that guy?
He's a funny guy.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer who is that guy. Edinburgh, Scotland, August 16th through 28th. Kirkland, Washington in October. It's all on the website.
All right, go to ToddBarry.com. Todd, thanks so much for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we got to take a break. It's a Freebie Friday, but we're going to move into the free post show today. You can IM me at Majority FM. Oh, and we're going to play the Mike Stark audio. We may go long today, folks. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
That woman is an idiot.
Here it is, the Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
They're the bad guys.
Analysts, taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician. Taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Yeah. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
All right, let's go to the IMs. We should be back. Icecast crapped out, but that's no big deal. Hi, Sam. How much money would you have to print to bail out all the states, and why no talk of just doing this to stop the horrible Republican cuts are making around the country? I don't know what the total figure is, but it's not just a question of bailing out the states. It's just getting projects up. I don't know. I mean, it may several hundred billion, I guess. I don't know. Could you talk about the trade bridge story in Detroit, Windsor? The Koch brothers for prosperity are now involved in stopping the publicly owned bridge to compete with the privately owned one. Two billionaires coming to the rescue. Send me that link at majorityreporters@gmail.com. I'll talk about it next week. You mentioned this before. For every dollar spent on the IRS, they get $6 back in revenue. GOP wants to defund by $2 billion. Yeah, it's... There's no the agenda of the Republicans, understand, is simply ideological. And the agenda of the Democrats, I think, is maybe just in some instances corporatist. Kyle, I wanted to see Man on Wire until Chris Rosen recommended it and claimed to have seen it. Asked Todd about his relationship with Tim Heidecker. Oh, shoot. I didn't see that till later. I should have. Cool J 146. Wiener's penis aside, what do you think of his own view on Israel? I'm going to recommend the Herman Cain ad from 6 again because I'd love to hear the reaction it elicits from you. Oh, yeah. We pulled that. We didn't get it today. We'll get it on Monday. Well, I think Wiener, like most... most members of Congress, and certainly ones from New York, have an irrational, or rational only to the extent from an electoral standpoint, at least they perceive it, view on Israel and its relationship to the Palestinians. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know that... the views of legislators means that much, or any more than any other commentator in the country. What really matters is to the extent that the Obama administration can be an honest broker. I don't think they can. And, you know, I hope this process goes to the UN and sort of changes the physics of it. I've got a recommendation for Rosen, says Kevin, semicolon, time management. Big Shuni, sounds like Dead Kennedys, Dead Boys, and Pork Dukes combo. Interesting. Talking about the Screaming Majorities song. Defeatocrat, the Screaming Majority song was fantastic. Where can I get a copy of that? We will post. Jay Shivone, is the show driving through a canyon? Let me get this straight. They changed the name of Xanadu to Freedom Mall. Who's going to shop at that? They ought to try out a name Wiener Mall. That name appears to be a major draw. And they better hurry because I hear Thomas Friedman has applied for a new trademark. Very poor Rosen segment today. I think he's hit his stride. Surah, a lot of distortion on the stream. That was at 12:34. Maria Bamford is funny. Todd Glass is funny. Avedon, I'd like to hear a good review of Zabriskie Point. I've never seen it, but it's a movie everyone recommends to me after I told them how much I wish I hadn't wasted time seeing The Big Chill. Zabriskie Point. Noble Baker. Update on the libertarian rancher guy. I found out he's a recovering fundamentalist Christian and a former neocon, his words. So I think he's actually headed in the right direction. I asked him what recourse his rancher would have had in libertarian utopia world if a factory upstream dumped toxic waste and killed his cattle. He admitted he didn't have an answer for that. That's a great question. He says he's an environmentalist. Well, but how can you be an environmentalist and a libertarian in the sense that you can't tell people what they can do with their private property? You can't tell them what they can do with that. Not as a libertarian. Funny thing, he also hit me with Hitler was a socialist. Turns out he'd never heard of Godwin's law. Well, he should also go and spend 5 minutes in looking up what, just because the name of the party was the National Socialist Party, doesn't mean that he was a socialist. I asked him about calling in. He didn't feel he could handle being put on the spot. He needs time to think about a reply to that Facebook gives him. Wow, if that's the best you can do after time, one can only imagine. Pterodactyl, stream crapped out. I can't get back on. Just letting you know. How about now? Trip, back up. Dave Peterson. Thank you. Maxercise. Yes. Chris, Eugene Sneakers. I still see you in Sam Cam. Sam, I don't care what Marin says about you. You're awesome. So what do you think about NATO's statement that Anonymous is a terrorist organization? I saw that, and I saw Anonymous basically say, don't fuck with us. That's going to be interesting.
What's interesting is that that other hacker group just came up. They're the ones who did all the Sony work. They're not Anonymous. That's a completely different group. They hacked into. They're the ones responsible for all the Sony hacks. They recently hacked Nintendo. They hacked some security website. They're called the Lulz Security or something like that.
LULZ.
LULZSEC.
What does that stand for? Lulz.
Lulz. It's like a.
It's like a Rickroll thing or something.
Yeah, it's like an elite, like, you know, hacker version of saying LOL. Like the like they call like when they do something to troll people, they call it like for the Lulz, like LULZ, like.
Okay.
Because little girls say LOL, so I guess they don't want to be involved with that.
I gotcha. Lulz S-E-C is LOL plural, I'm being told. I, Johnny, Man on a Wire is an amazing documentary. Ignore the fact that it was suggested by Rosen. Dave Benjoya, well done, sir. Oh. Meadowlands Mall is now called American Dream. Sorry, it's not Freedom Mall. I got confused, folks. American Dream. Primer, where are you on Wiener's Wiener? Should he resign? This is not a sex scandal. It's a pervert scandal. Please inform smug moron Lawrence O'Donnell. Well, Primer, you should have listened to the program earlier, but should he resign? No. Is he a pervert? I mean, I guess in the largest sense of the word, perhaps. Should he resign? Not if there's no law breaking. No. And I would argue not even from the perspective of him not being a good voice, not even from a political perspective. I don't think he should resign from a political perspective or a legal perspective or a moral perspective. Okajik, lulz means for the laughs. Did you see where the right wing is blaming environmentalists for the size of the Arizona fires? No, I didn't see that, but I'm not terribly surprised. Folks, let's turn for a moment. We'll get back to the IMs, but I want to go through this great, great audio from Mike Stark. He called into Rush Limbaugh. Show, and it's awesome. Now we're going to stop it at a couple of points because, well, you'll see. But let's listen to it now. This is Mike Stark, and I'll tell you right now. Well, I'll give you where you can go to get more of his stuff. We'll link to his obviously to his site on the blog. But he's blogging over at truthticker.com. Let's play this.
We return, as promised, and Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Jeff, I really appreciate your patience. You've been on hold for almost a whole show. Great to have you here, sir.
Russ, I'd wait a lot longer than that to speak with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
It seems like every day these days you're talking about jobs and where are the jobs and the economy. I haven't heard you say anything except lower taxes, smaller government to create jobs. And I heard that the overall tax collection of the federal government today is lower than it was under Reagan. I'm thinking to myself that we had 8 years of Bush with his low taxes. Obama's stimulus package, one-third of it was tax cuts. So we've got lower taxes today than we even had underneath George Bush. The government has to do something to create jobs. There's too many people without jobs. And I'm thinking, I remember the bridge that went down in Minnesota. There were all sorts of reports back then about tens of thousands of bridges that need repair. Here in Kentucky, we've got mountaintops that have been lopped off to get at the coal underneath, and they all need to be remediated. Superfund sites all across the country that need to be cleaned up. We've got things that we can do to put people to work. And I'll tell you, Rush, I heard one of your interstitials. They talked about, you know, people taking student loans to go to college to make their lives better. How is borrowing to go to college to make your life better any different than investing in this country by borrowing today to make bridges better, so or the electrical grid, so we don't suffer through huge blackouts that cause our economy, or student loans so that this country can compete with the rest of the world? I mean, I really haven't heard any plan from you that hasn't been tried for the last 10 years now. And like I said, taxes are lower now than they were underneath Reagan.
No,
so
they're not. Not, it's not, that's just absurd. And to say that one third of the stimulus was tax cuts is equally as uninformed. And to suggest that all these infrastructure projects exist, we had a stimulus bill of $787 billion designed to fix all of those. Not a single dime went to any of them. It all went to state and local government employees. We all know this now. The government cannot create jobs. The government can
only... Stop for 1 second. So let's go through this, okay? And Stark addresses it, and we will play this more. But first off, the money didn't go just to employees. It went to employees of a state and who are actually going and creating these infrastructure and working on these infrastructure, but they were hired. We can see it. We saw in just the last employment numbers that the government shed some odd 24,000 jobs. Well, if the government can shed jobs, they certainly can add jobs. And if they add jobs, then you have people working and making an income and going out and spending it. All right, continue.
We destroy wealth. The government cannot create it. The government doesn't produce diddly squat. You cannot grow an economy by taking money from one segment of it and transferring it to another. That's not growth. That's simply redistribution. It generally rewards people.
If you have people who are spending their money, and we know that the money is concentrated in few hands in this country, and they are spending their money by investing and speculating, then yes, in fact, you can grow the economy by redistributing the wealth. You can take that money that is far less efficient in terms of creating jobs via taxes, and you can invest that money into things that actually creates jobs, like building roads, like teaching kids, like studying disease, like loans to students going to learn, invest in the infrastructure. There's all sorts of ways. Continue.
Aren't doing anything, so there's no productivity whatsoever. I frankly am at a total loss to understand where you're even coming from on this.
I think I made it pretty clear. I mean, if
but you might be clear, but you are not right about anything that you said. Is painfully obvious.
Well, first of all, I think you're mistaken when you say one-third of the stimulus package wasn't tax cuts. It was. Republicans insisted on it. Obama worked with the Republicans, said, hey, listen, I've won the election. I've got these huge majorities, but I'm still going to give you one-third of the stimulus.
Really? Would you explain to me where those tax cuts were? I mean, what kind of tax cuts were they?
There were incentives for businesses to hire and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, listen, I'm not a tax lawyer. I'm not a tax guru.
I want to know, give me the tax cuts. Tell me what they were, what the policy was, whose rates were cut, what kind. Don't talk about tax credits. Don't talk about, I mean, I want genuine tax cuts.
Russ, I seriously have confidence in you, and I'm sure that if you did the little Google thing, you could see what these tax cuts were just as easily as
no,
I could.
No, because they don't exist.
But it's all right, hold on for a second. I have Google. I have Google, and I Googled, and I went to PolitiFact, which quotes Cato, members of the Cato Institute, when they talk about this stuff. So as vaguely dubious as they're going to tax experts, and they go to Cato, they truth tested this exact same claim when John Stewart mentioned it on O'Reilly's No Spin Zone. Stewart claims the stimulus bill is one-third tax cuts. Here's the numbers, folks. It costs $787 billion, $499 billion to fund new roads, hire teachers, and generally keep people employed. $288 billion in tax breaks to individuals and businesses. That's 36% of the bill. They went to the Cato Institute and talked about a $70 billion over 10 years that was part of an AMT, the alternative minimum tax. It was rehauled over the next 10 years, saving $70 billion in taxes. PolitiFact said you could probably not include that because there was an argument as to whether or not it was going to happen anyways. Well, so depending on what PolitiFact says, it was either 28% or 36%. Roughly one third either way. I think we can agree on that. So that's the Google. Continue.
To find it, it is up to you claim to know that they happen. You therefore have to show me.
Because it's common knowledge, but I don't have every detail at my fingertips. But let's go back to your other claim.
It's not
about these
common knowledge. And by the way, a lot of people in student loans are questioning, maybe they have thrown away a lot of money because none of them can find any jobs. They've got so much
now
debt
Rush
now
tries to,
that even if they
the
find decent jobs, they're not going to be able to pay back the loans.
He doesn't want to get called
for so many
stimulus.
Years that it might not make it cost effective to have done it in the first place.
Well, I'll agree with you that education has been way too expensive, and I think that is a government problem. When they make student loans available, colleges just charge more to swallow up more money without delivering jobs in the end or a better life for people in the end. I graduated law school, and I'm looking at $150,000 in student loans.
Yeah, well,
and can't find a job that will allow me to live comfortably and pay those back.
Okay, so then why then would a similar kind of borrowing for the government work?
Well, again, if you don't have blackouts, you don't lose billions of dollars of economic production. If you clean up Superfund sites, you're putting people to work and giving them a paycheck. They can go out and support local businesses and all the rest.
Well, why didn't Obama do this?
You've got land that can be repurposed and used for economic production.
Why didn't Obama do any of this then? He was given almost $1 trillion to do all this stuff with. Why did he do it?
Because he fell for the Republican trap, saying give states control of what they're going to do. So he did allow the states to.
He fell for the Republican trap.
A lot of the states had Republican governors, and they spent money on crony capitalism the way they always do.
Let me. Do you really believe what you've said to me on this call?
I believe
you really,
every word of what I
do
said.
You,
I think a lot of states were facing budget problems, and they decided to patch over budget holes.
Do you really believe
actually spending the money?
No, do you really believe that government can create jobs and grow us out of recession? Do you really believe that one third of the stimulus was tax cuts? Do you really believe that tax rates and tax collections today are lower than they were during Reagan? Do you really believe tax?
Are tax rates lower than they were during Reagan? Yes. Marginal tax rates are lower in all but 7 years. Again, from PolitiFact, in 1981, Reagan's first year, the top tax rate was 70%, hitting individuals earning $108,000. That would be roughly the equivalent of around $800,000 today. And couples earning $215,000, which would be $1.5 million. I don't know. That's off the top of my head if you were accounting for inflation. The top rate immediately dropped to 50% in 1982 and stayed there through 1986. In 1987, the top rate fell again to 38.5, and in 88, it fell to 28%. There was only 1 year where the top marginal rate was lower than, well, I guess the top marginal rate is 28% now. Not to mention that capital gains taxes were higher during Reagan. Not to mention that effective tax rates, in other words, the actual amount that was taxed, is lower now than it's been in 61 years. Reagan was in the 80s. I'll let some of you conservatives do that math. Not to mention that if you measure the amount of taxes collected by society relative to GDP, it's at its lowest point in 60 years. So under no measure that you can possibly find, are tax rates not lower now than they were during Reagan. But Limbaugh, of course, cannot let his audience hear this fact. And he knows they will not Google it. Continue.
Policy is less punitive than it was under. Do you really believe these things?
Russ, I believe every word I said. I believe that the Tennessee Valley Authority, a government program, powers large swaths of the South. I believe that the percentage of GDP collected in taxes today
is much lower than
it was under Reagan.
What is it like? See, I can't relate. What is it like?
Oh, so you really are off OxyContin.
See, what is it like to go through life being so wrong about everything? I can't relate. What is it like to go through life believing drivel and bilge? What is it like to be so uninformed and to be happy about it? What is it like for you to get up every day and be so ignorant and to believe such poppycock? These kinds of people, ladies and gentlemen, are why the country faces the great challenge it faces. It is people like this that we have to overcome.
That's right, folks. Those people who actually present facts that run contrary to the narrative that Rush Limbaugh is presenting is exactly the type of people that Rush Limbaugh and his fans have to get rid of. Absolutely. The great Mike Stark. Just awesome. Just awesome. Longshoreman, I am. Three banks lose mortgage modification incentives. Bank of America and Wells Fargo must make substantial improvements if they want Obama's home affordable modification program to start paying them again. Well, so far, that thing has not been terribly successful. Cool, 146. Big Shuni. It's almost unbearable to hear a Rush Limbaugh on Majority Report. Ouch. Alas, it is important to understand the opposing forces. And also, listen, hundreds of thousands of people just heard Limbaugh completely, 100% have to lie to maintain his narrative. Just out-and-out lies of facts. Rush Limbaugh might as well have said it is not sunny during the day, ladies and gentlemen. It is not cold out when it's 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, the question is, will any of Limbaugh's audience actually bother to check on these facts? Maybe. Maybe a couple. I thought it was just fantastic. Jay Shivone, I'm cool if they call it an American dream, but only if they use an erection as their logo. All right, folks, that is our program for today. And next week will be another wonderful week of programming. If you have listened all this way through the program and you're not a member and you're enjoying the freebie membership, look yourself in the mirror. Let's just admit something between the two of us. It's just you and I right now. You got to become a member. Seriously, dude? Seriously, do that? Have a great weekend, folks. Need some coffee? Go to justcoffee.coop. Put the coupon code MAJORITY in there. Get a 10% discount. Try it. Believe me, try it once. You will never, never go back to that crappy coffee you're drinking now. Also, don't forget to buy your junk through our Amazon link at Majority FM. Thanks for joining us. For the option where you don't get paid. For the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get some air lost with drive.